Welcome to Faith and Victory Church, an active, non-denominational Christian church in Auburn, Washington. A warm, casual environment where everyone is welcome, with a great kids ministry, live worship music, and pastors Matt and Crystal Krichunas. Faith and Victory Church is all about the Bible and worshiping Jesus. You're invited to visit one of our services in person, Sundays at 9 and 11. But for now, thanks for joining us here for this Spirit-filled message.
So last week, if you were here, who was here with me last Wednesday night? So I preached on a changed nature last week, right? So to follow up that, tonight we're going to be talking about a change of mind, okay? In 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 7 and 8, it says, "But refuse and avoid irreverent legends, profane and impure and godless fictions, mere grandmother's tales, silly myths, and express your disapproval of them. Train yourself toward godliness, keeping yourself spiritually fit. For physical training is of some value, useful for a little, but godliness, spiritual training, is useful and of value in everything and in every way, for it holds promise for the present life and also for the life which is to come." So he says, physical exercise profits some, but spiritual exercise is useful and value in everything. And when I was thinking about this, when I was in my 20s, and some of you know this, I worked at a gym, and I got in with a bunch of the fitness people, and I was going to be on ESPN. I was a mad woman about working out, seriously. I was in the gym probably 3 hours a day, lifting weights. I weighed and measured all my food. I mean, there was nothing that touched my lips that was not good for my body, that was not going to benefit me. I didn't cheat. I never had chocolate. Oh, God forbid, what was I thinking? But I was serious about fitness. I was serious about my body and how I looked. I was supposed to be on ESPN. And so these were things that I focused on. Amen? Well, we need to think that same way in our spiritual training. With the same diligence that we do something else, because I put a ton of effort into that. We need to put that much effort into our spiritual walk. Amen? Exercise yourself toward godliness. So last week when we talked about this, is that when we are born again, the Holy Spirit comes inside us and He gives us power to become the sons of God and daughters, ladies. He gives us power to overcome the flesh. He gives us power to walk in the flesh, or to walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh, right? It's the Holy Spirit that gives us this power, folks. But we, at the same time, have a part to play. See, God will change our nature, but it is up to us to change our mind. Amen? 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 4 and 5, it says, "For the weapons of our warfare are not physical." These are not weapons of flesh and blood, "but they are mighty before God for the overthrow and destruction of strongholds, inasmuch as we refute arguments and theories and reasonings and every proud and lofty thing that sets itself up against the true knowledge of God, and we lead every thought and purpose away captive into the obedience of Christ." Now this part is up to us to renew our mind. We are to take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Amen? We are to refute arguments and reasonings, everything that exalts itself against the Word of God. Amen? This is exercising ourselves unto godliness, folks. And as my good friend Eva said, this Christian walk is no joke. As we were walking up the big hill that's a mile all the way up. This Christian walk is no joke, folks. We have got to discipline ourselves And nobody likes that word discipline. Amen? I don't like that word. It's not fun. So this role of our mind, the mind is the control center of the soul. Some thoughts originate from within us, some thoughts originate from Satan, and some thoughts originate from other people. So not every thought, we said, if you remember last week, we said not every thought is sin, okay? But we are still to take control of those thoughts, no matter where it originates from. The mind is the place where flesh and spirit exchange ideas and come to conclusions about the world around us. Right? This mind. It can either be a conductor for the Spirit of God, or it can be a breeding ground for the corruption of the flesh. The mind is the battlefield for the longest, most difficult war in a Christian's life. Control of this battlefield is crucial for filling the purpose of God in your life. We have got to get control over this battlefield, folks. And like I said, this is the longest, most difficult war in a Christian's life. It is something that you will face as long as you live on this earth. The more you exercise yourself unto godliness, the easier it will get, but it's still a fight. It's still a struggle. We will still fight against the flesh. The mind interprets what it receives from the spirit, and the mind can only interpret based on what it knows and is aware of, okay? The mind can only focus on a few things at a time. Our spirit is constantly bombarded with messages from heaven, persuasions from the Holy Spirit that are designed to guide our life and change our direction. And our flesh is constantly bombarded with messages from the world, persuasions from Satan that are designed to destroy our life and misdirect us. So we've got two things going on in the mind, right? Messages from heaven, from the Holy Spirit, trying to direct us in the things of God, and messages from the world trying to lead us to satisfy our flesh. Our mind must be equipped to interpret and discern between these two messages, giving the Spirit constant access, influence, and influence over our life. When this happens, we will be operating in the Spirit. We will be living in the Spirit. We will be walking in the Spirit. Amen? So how the flesh fights. The flesh fights to take control of our mind because it must be satisfied. Folks, the flesh constantly wants to be satisfied. How many of y'all know that? Do you live in your body? Does it not want what it wants? Okay, amen. As long as you guys, we agree on this. The flesh fights to win authority over our mind in order to preserve itself and claim its right over us. So our flesh is fighting with our spirit, our mind, constantly. Okay? Satan will reinforce this battle by sending influences and shaping the world around us. So not only are you fighting your flesh, but now you're fighting Satan that's trying to influence the world around us that our flesh wants to be satisfied by. Greater is he that's in you. Don't get discouraged. I see everybody, oh yeah. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. But let me lay it out for you, folks. This is not a cakewalk. It's a battle. It's warfare. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, right? It's warfare. So, how do we do this? We must be aware of the flesh's tactics and change wrong thinking. We have to change wrong thinking, folks. 1 John 2:16 says, "For all that's in the world, the lust of the flesh, craving for sensual gratification, the lust of the eyes, greedy longings of the mind, and the pride of life, assurance in one's own resources or in the stability of earthly things, these do not come from the Father, but are from the world." So we must be aware of the flesh's tactics and change our wrong thinking. tactic number one is our appetite. I don't mean food, but just desires of the flesh, an appetite. Your flesh wants certain things. This is a desire to satisfy any bodily need or craving. This is the flesh's tactic, okay? This includes sexual desires. In fact, that's probably one of the greatest things that we fight against in the body. 1 Corinthians, that's right, sister, you know it. 1 Corinthians 6:18 says, "Shun immorality and all sexual looseness. Flee from impurity in thought, word, or deed. For any other sin which a man commits is one outside the body, but he who commits sexual immorality sins against his own body." That's one of the greatest appetites of our flesh, folks. And we have got to change wrong thinking. Now, I don't know about you, but when I came out of the world, when I was living in the world, I was taught to believe that, hey man, if it feels good, do it. And I experienced all sorts of stuff. I'd seen all sorts of stuff. And in my eyes, hey, it was all good. As long as you're not murdering anybody or killing, you know, or stealing, it's all good. That's the way I was taught. But when the Holy Spirit came in and I began to see things differently, all of a sudden, I had to make my mind, my thoughts, my wrong thinking line up with the Holy Spirit and God's Word. And it's taken me time to do that. But that process of saying, you know what? Crystal didn't say this was wrong. God says it's wrong. We must begin to think differently about sex than the world does. The church is deceiving itself. Folks, we have to think differently about sex than the world does. Because the world will tell you, you know, oh, move in together and it's okay before you get married. The world will tell you, you know, oh, you got to try it out first before you get married. Is this not what the world tells us, folks? It's what the world tells us. And Corinthians says, flee sexual sin, because you're doing it against your own temple. Your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. So when we indulge in sexual sin, folks, we sin against our body. Let me give you a hint of some examples of some people that I have come across in my day. Now, this one lady, and she said she was a Christian, and her and I began talking and stuff, and she had a long-term boyfriend, but they were off and on all the time, and he would date other people, and she would date other people, but she said he was the only one that she slept with. And she said, well, I'm not out sleeping around, I'm just with him, so I'm not being a harlot, but I'm with him, and so that's okay. And I'm like, no, it's not. We begin to deceive ourselves. Listen, and I don't know why I should have to say this to a body of believers, but the only sex that God sees is within a godly marriage, in a marriage between a man and a woman. You can call it whatever you want to. You can call it fornication. You can call it adultery. You can call it homosexuality. You can call it whatever you want to. The only sex that God says is good is within a marriage. And for some reason, the church has lost sight of this. And so we've got people living together. Well, you know, well, we're trying to see if we're going to, you know. Folks, these things should not be. We have got to change our thinking. God's already said it. We have to change our thinking about it. Amen? I had another person one time that told me that oh yeah, I'm a Christian, and we were talking about sex, and I said, you know, well, basically the Bible says any sex outside of marriage is a sin. And they said, well, I have sex outside of marriage, I'm not sinning. And I said, well, actually you are. And they said to me, well, if God didn't want me to have sex, he shouldn't have made me this way. See, we deceive ourselves because we adopt what the world says and what the world does, and we bring it into the church. And it's not what God says about it, folks. Now listen, it's taken me a long time for God to change my views on a lot of things. But the day that I said, I love you, God, I thank you for forgiving me, the day he reached out to me, I said, okay, you're my Lord, I guess you know better than me. Amen. And it's up to me to change my wrong thinking. Amen? Tactic number two of the flesh is feelings of discontentment. This is a restless desire or craving for something one does not have. This may not even be about material stuff, but also wanting what another person has as a gifting or something like that, right? This discontentment can breed jealousy and envy. It causes us to play the comparison game, right? Discontentment, we start comparing ourselves to other people. Well, how come them and not me? Why do they get this? And right? This is one of the flesh tactics, folks. Come on! I've been there. I'm not up to here preaching something that I haven't walked through myself or I don't deal with. Okay, brother. Genesis chapter 4, verse 6-7. The Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? Why do you look sad and depressed and dejected? For if you do well, you will be accepted. And if you do not do well, sin crouches at your door. Its desire is for you, but you must master it. So he told Cain, if you do well, you're going to be accepted. Because Cain was discontent. He was mad at his brother. And he said, if you do well, you will be accepted. But he said, sin is crouching at your door and it desires you. But you must master it. God said this to Cain, folks. Come on. And now he put his Holy Spirit inside of us. He's saying the same thing today. Sin is crouching at your door, but you can master it. So we recognize these fleshly tactics, right? Discontentment. Tactic number three, pride and self-preservation. A high opinion of one's own importance, but also an unwillingness to repent because of how we will be viewed in another's eyes. This is a tactic of the flesh, right? We are called to die to self. That means we humbly submit. That means when we're wrong, and even when we're not wrong, we ask for forgiveness. Just to seek peace. I can't tell you how many times I've had to go before somebody and humble myself before them, knowing the whole time that I was right and they were wrong, but in their mind, I was wrong. And you do, folks, you got to humble yourself before them, because the flesh is always crouching at your door, right? Sin is always crouching at our door. And so, in order to let the Spirit soar, we seek peace, right? And sometimes that's just, folks, it's swallowing your pride. It's humbling yourself and saying, man, I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Who cares? God knows. If God knows, who cares what they think? Amen, right? But that's that pride, right? Our pride wells up within us. Well, I'm right, you're wrong. That solves a lot. 2 Chronicles 32:26, it says, but Hezekiah humbled himself for the pride of his heart, both he and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, so that the wrath of the Lord did not come upon them all the days of King Hezekiah. A king, Hezekiah, humbled himself, and it stayed the wrath of God all of his days. Amen? Tactic number four, this is a good one, oppression, sadness, guilt, depression. This is a tactic of the flesh. Why are God's children living in oppression? We allow the flesh to overtake us with feelings of guilt and shame. Or we just don't know who we are in Christ. There's a huge identity crisis in the church. People don't know who they are. So you don't know who you are. You do walk in guilt and shame. Right? When I got forgiven of my sins, he solved my shame problem. He solved my sin problem. He solved my guilt problem. But see, we have to receive that and change our mind about it. Because he's already done it, but we've got to change our thinking about it. Amen? Tactic number 5 of the flesh, laziness and forgetfulness. I was lazy. Lack of discipline. You know, folks, we can come up with any excuse in the book, can we not? You know, some of the greatest preachers that I've ever read about, because I didn't know them, I know Smith Wigglesworth, he had such horrible kidney stones that he would go and he'd preach a message. Do you know that he raised the dead? He had such power, but it didn't stop him from preaching the Word of God, and he would go home and lay on the floor and just groan with pain. But it didn't stop him from preaching the Word of God. It didn't stop him from going out there and healing, raising the dead, doing what God has called him to do. Folks, but that takes discipline, does it not? It says, I'm going to overcome my flesh. I'm not going to allow this to stop me. Amen? Come on, folks. Laziness. It is bad. No. So how the Spirit fights. The Spirit fights to take control of the mind because it needs fellowship with God. Okay? When God saves us from sin, He doesn't just want to see an outward change in us. He wants to see a complete inner transformation of the way we think. We are called to renew our minds, casting off our old ways of thinking and rejecting the world's wisdom. Romans 12:2, do not be conformed to this world, fashioned after and adapted to its external superficial customs, but be transformed, changed by the renewal of your mind, by its new ideals and its new attitude, so that you may prove for yourselves what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God, even the thing which is good and acceptable and perfect in His sight for you. Amen? We have got to take control of our mind. The Spirit is trying to help us, folks. He is in there, and those urges and those promptings of the Spirit, and He's trying, but we've got to change our mind. If we don't change our thinking, we will continue in our bad habits. That's just the way it is. The proverb says, as a man thinks, so is he. Some translation says, as a man thinks in his heart, so he becomes. We become what we think about, what we dwell on. And so if we don't change our thoughts about things, folks, we will just continue to walk in those bad habits. And I'll tell you what, if we do that, we will never fulfill the purpose that God has on our lives. Amen? The Spirit fights the flesh to allow clear passage for the Spirit of God into our life. So the Holy Spirit is fighting the flesh so that we can hear from the Holy Spirit. That's what He's trying to do. You know the Spirit's job is to lead us and guide us into all truth? That's the Holy Spirit's job. He's trying to lead us and guide us into all truth. Amen? The Spirit fights to overpower the vision of the flesh with the visions of the Spirit. Satan is powerless when these messages come through clearly, so his objective is to jumble them up. See, Satan is powerless when that child of God has such a revelation of the Spirit of God in his life, that you are unstoppable. You will be unstoppable. So if Satan can mess us up with those fleshly tactics, if he can mess up that message that God is trying to get to us, he's already won. Strategies for renewing our mind, folks, and there's no shortcuts. I never know. What are those books that everybody reads? The Cliff Notes? What's the Cliff Notes? There's no Cliff Notes. There's no shortcuts. Strategies for renewing our mind. Strategy number one, we must have a yearning and longing for God. Psalm 42 says, "For as the deer pants for the water, so my soul longeth after you." Right? Have you ever, and I've never seen a deer panting for water, but I've seen my dog panting for water. I take my dog for a run this morning, and it was pretty hot this morning. He comes back, and he's out. We took the dog for a run this morning. We come back, and it's pretty hot. And because they don't sweat, they need water, right? And he's trying to get in the water at the same time that he's trying to breathe and stuff because he's so thirsty. That's the kind of longing that God's talking about. That longing says, I can't live without you. I can't make it another day without being in your presence. Daily, folks. This is a daily thing of seeking God's face daily, of being in his presence. Prayer is daily, folks. If you're just coming to church and that's your Christian walk, you are way behind the curve. You're already defeated. It's not enough. It's really not enough. Do you get good teaching here? Absolutely. You get great teaching here. But folks, that's not even the icing on the cake. That's the candles. It has to be a daily seeking after him, a daily being in his presence, a daily praying. If you're going to overcome the flesh, folks, if we're going to overcome the world, we have got to be in prayer daily in his presence. As the deer pants for the water, so my soul longeth after you. Strategy number two, we have to provoke the mind to consider wisdom. What is this? This is a knowledge of God's word. Proverbs 1:20 says, "Wisdom cries aloud in the street. She raises her voice in the markets." Boy, man, the word of God is crying out for you. Read me! Read me! I'm wisdom! Read me! Wisdom! Wisdom! You want wisdom? Read your Bible! There's a lot of good Christian books out there, folks, but you need to be reading your Bible. There's a lot of good Christian books that'll lead you astray. You need to be reading your Bible. Folks, this is the Word of God. It's the Word of God. I love Psalm 119 because it's about the love for God's Word. I love God's Word. It is life. It is truth. It's wisdom. Not as man gives, but as God gives. It's wisdom. Folks, and we need to be in his word daily. Like I said, there's no shortcuts. There's no shortcuts. We need to be in his word daily. We need to be longing for his presence daily. Daily. Strategy number three, we need to be living by the fruit of the Spirit. This is, like I said last week, saying no to the flesh and yes to the Spirit. We have the, folks, we have the power to say no to our flesh. Did y'all know that? Oh, my flesh, it's making me do it. No, it's not. It's not making you do it. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Greater is he that's in you than your flesh. He is greater than all that. He's overcome it. But we have to control our minds, folks. Take every thought captive. In order to say no to the flesh, say yes to the Spirit. the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5:22-23. This is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, truth. That's a truth for God's word. Truthfulness. Folks, gentleness, self-control. I have no self-control. Really? You don't want to have self-control. Let's call it what it is, right? The last thing, strategy number 4 for renewing our mind. Folks, you've got to guard your heart and mind from things that God regards as evil. We have got to guard our heart and our minds. Guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it flows the issues of life, right? Keep those things sacred. Guard your heart. Guard your mind. Folks, and that, like I said last week, that means that sometimes you don't go where other people go. That means you don't do what other people do. That means sometimes you don't associate with some people. Because we've got to guard that word of God. We have got to guard it in our heart with our life. Folks, there is nothing more important. Nothing. Guard your heart and your mind. Who was here? Has anyone heard my sermon on protect your seed?
Yeah, that was a good one. I like that.
That, and when you go back to that parable that Jesus was talking about, the seed of God being implanted, you've got to protect that seed. You have to. You have to protect that seed that's been planted, that word of God that's been planted in you, you have to protect it. That means when someone says something to you, or if you're hanging around one of your friends that's not going the right way, sometimes you have to cut them out of your life, folks. It doesn't mean that you don't love them. It doesn't mean you're not kind to them. You love them. You're kind to them. But sometimes you've got to guard that seed because what they're doing and what they're saying to you is contrary to what the Word of God has said to you. We have to guard that. You have to guard it. Deuteronomy 4:9, take heed and guard your life diligently, lest you forget the things which your eyes have seen, unless they depart from your mind and heart all the days of your life. Teach them to your children and your children's children. So not only are we supposed to guard those things, but we should teach them to our children. Ephesians 4:23, be constantly renewed in the spirit of your mind, having a fresh mental and spiritual attitude. Deuteronomy 32:45-47, and Moses had finished speaking all these words to Israel. He said to them, set your minds and hearts on all the words which I command you this day, that you may command them to your children, that they may be watchful to do all the words of this law, for it is not an empty and worthless trifle for you, it is your very life. By it you shall live long in the land which you are going over the Jordan to possess. He said, that word of God, it is your life. Protect it. Guard it. Pass it on to your children. Amen? Amen. You want me to close the service? Woo! Y'all receive that? Praise God. Amen. Exercise yourself unto